Matter of fact, in those days,
CITR.
Matter of fact, they come in pretty handy anytime. It's kind of nice to know you have something set aside. So if you ever figure on that, remember that
CITR
can be mighty helpful.
Yeah!
Industrial, goth, metal, DJ Drake is back, live and loud on the Vampire's Ball. Friday nights, 2 to 4 a.m., right here on CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hails and horns, over and out.
Okay, welcome everybody to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Wilson, are you in the room over there?
Yes, I am in a room.
Okay. What is going on right now, folks, is we are doing, on the first day of school, a live in-studio contest. We have eight lovely people here at CITR Control, and we are going to be doing a contest. It's going to take about a half hour, so bear with us, and the winner of the contest will receive the following. It's a good prize. Four tickets to the Vancouver Canucks Anaheim Ducks preseason game. Lower level, you get a VIP training camp experience. More of that to follow. You're also going to get a foamy finger, Alex Burrows signed puck, Alex Burrows signed photo. You're going to be getting a, what else we got over there? A t-shirt, a hat, and most importantly, the bag. So, Wilson, we've got the eight people in the room. We're ready to go?
Yeah, I must say the foam finger was quite popular.
Cool. All right, Wilson, so what we're going to do is I'm going to play five television show theme songs. This is round one. I'm going to play five theme songs. We're going to have ones worth 5 points, 4 points, 3 points, 2 points, 1 point, etc. Whichever two teams have the most points advance to round two. We got that, everybody? Do they have that, Wilson? We'll assume they do.
Yeah.
Okay, so at any rate, for 1 point, here is the first theme song. Wilson, how was the reaction to that one?
It was okay, actually.
It was okay? All right. This next one is...
There's a lot of laughter, I must say.
This next song is a television show from the 1970s. What was the reaction to that one, Wilson?
Not so popular.
Okay, here it is. I really like this show. Wilson, how did that one get a response?
I think they were not so high on it, I don't think.
Not so high on it. Okay, no. This next theme song is worth 3 points, and it involves former X-Files star David Duchovny. Whoa. Ready, Wils? Are they ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. This is worth 3 points. How'd that one go over, Wilson?
I think someone said that was the hardest one yet.
Okay, now we're getting into the difficult questions. This song, remember we talked about this one last night, Wilson?
Well, we talked about a lot of songs.
This is the one involving the butler.
Just play it.
Okay, ready? Are you ready, room? Are we ready in there?
Yeah, they're ready.
Okay, here it comes. This one's going to be especially tough. It's worth 4 points. But if you enjoyed television sitcoms from the 1980s, you should get it. Oops.
Streets on the China, never met it before. Who cares when you drop-kicked your jacket as you came through the door? No one glared, but sometimes things get turned around and no one spared. All hands look out below. There's a change in the status quo. Gonna need all the help that we can get. According to our new arrival, life is more than mere survival. We just might live a good life yet.
Wilson, anything?
I don't know. I don't know if anyone's written anything on their answer sheet.
Okay.
I must say, when I asked when a lot of these contestants were born.
Yeah.
A lot of people said, 87?
Really?
90?
Okay. All right, we'll just try the five-parter. Wilson, do the grading, and then we'll bring people in for the tiebreakers if needed, okay?
All right, this is the last one,
This is the one you had never heard of the show when we talked about it yesterday.
Right.
Okay, here we go. This is one of my favorite shows of all time. Okay, Wilson.
Yeah.
That was the final song. That was worth 5 points. Mm-hmm. So, everybody, please hand in your answers to Wilson.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, Wilson, just come on in, and if there's a tie, bring them in, okay?
All right.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. We are having our in-studio contest here today for the Vancouver Canucks prize pack. We have 8 lovely students from the UBC campus who my friend Derek and I were able to cajole up. Really, you know what I like about the people that show up? A lot of people look at us and they really think we're frauds or just nutbags. Like, for a while, I wasn't...
I think nutbags is probably more
for
the case.
For a while, I wasn't wearing a shoe today for the competition.
Mm.
Don't look at me like that. You know, I wasn't wearing a shoe, but, you know, we got it together. So, anyways, we got 8 people here today. We're shortly going to have 4 people in here. By the way, with me, Tyler Noble. I took a while to introduce you there, right, Tyler?
Thank you, Daryl.
We're gonna have our final 4 in their groups of 2, and we're going to be doing our family feud round, Tyler. Now, here's the contest we're doing today. You get 4 tickets to a Vancouver Canucks preseason game, lower-level seats versus Anaheim. You get Sunday, September 13th at the Thunderbird Winter Sports Center. The new UBC Indoor Arena.
Yep.
You and 3 friends get a VIP training. We actually had winners. Like, we were able to whittle it down.
Right, apparently.
What did you get right?
We don't know.
That's wonderful. Okay, guys, just stay with me for a second here. We'll get the contest going on. You also win a Alex Burrows signed photo, Alex Burrows signed puck, Vancouver Canucks team bag, a hat, a shirt, a bunch of stuff.
Okay. Everything you'd want.
We got to keep this going now. So if you guys could please, Tyler, we got to get you out of the way here. I'm sorry. We
no
need,
problem.
We
no
need
problem.
Two people over here. Two people. Oh, so the three girls who like came, none of them advanced, eh?
Yeah. We got one.
Yeah. What did you guys? What did you guys know? Which theme song did you get right? Do you
not
know?
Sure. They didn't tell us any answers. So we're not entirely sure. Those are our guesses.
Well, you got Curb Your Enthusiasm and Crank Yankers.
Yes. Holy yes.
How did you know Crank Yankers?
It's in the
You actually.
Theme song, actually.
What's up?
The word is in the.
Yeah, that's what I did because I figured nobody would get it. That's what I did there, Wilson. I figured nobody was gonna get. I figured nobody was gonna get Crank Yankers. So I just left it in there. The answers were, the first one was Curb Your Enthusiasm. Did you guys get that too? Okay. Number two was Sanford and Son. Did nobody know Sanford and Son?
I know this.
They did.
Hey, high five right here. Wow. Okay, number three was Californication. Nobody knows that show?
We got a
trooper over here. Number four was Mr. Belvedere, which Wilson and I realized it's not on reruns. But it was very popular in about the mid to early 80s.
Which is before most of these people were born.
We knew that was going to be tough. And number five
was Crank Yankers.
Crank Yankers. Did you know Crank Yankers? Did you know the show?
Yes.
Great. Oh,
those
guys
puppets,
are
right?
Yeah, with the Hey, you see, Wilson, people know the show. Okay, guys, here's round two. Now, before we move on, we got to get you guys over there. Before we move on... oh, no, Wilson, we got to get him here because they're going to have to bang the table. Oh, we're doing Family Feud here. So before we move on, here's how it's going to work. We have here four lovely people. Now, my question before we move on is, what made you come here? Because, Derek, we thought we had about how many people showing up here today? We thought we had how many people?
Oh, 35 to 50.
We really did. Everybody seemed interested, and then...
And that was just the women.
And then as we got, you know, I show up here, I saw about four people were here. And what made you guys actually show up?
We were leaving the gallery, and we heard it was about 425, so we thought we'd come up for a...
Free Canucks ticket.
There you go. What made you guys show up?
Well, there's free stuff. Free stuff's my favorite kind of stuff, so...
wonderful. Now, what we're going to do right now is... Tyler, if you can bring the stuff over here, and we'll put everything on the table. We have with us the Alex Burrows signed photo. Now, just so you guys know this, here's what you got to do. Sunday, September 13th, you got to show up at the UBC new indoor arena at 10 a.m., can you guys do that? Is that good? So you and three friends will get the training camp experience. To be honest, I'm not positive what it is. I think it's like you and three friends get like four seats in a reserve section and all that stuff. So we have here an Alex Burrows signed photo, Alex Burrows signed puck, t-shirt, post-its. We have a hat, a foamy finger, and this Forever Faithful DVD. that got the reaction. Now, I'm going to let you guys decide here, because the Canucks gave it away to us in one big shoot, right? Are you guys willing to concede that the runner-up should get something here?
Winner takes all.
We have a winner take all. Agreed?
Agreed.
Oh, we got some gamblers here. All right. Your names, guys. I need your names.
I'm Paul.
John.
Sandeep.
Shailene.
Okay, perfect. So here's what we're going to have is we're going to do our Family Feud round right now. Then the winners of that are going to go head-to-head. Do you guys know who Rick Ball is?
Yep.
He's one of the play-by-play voices for the Canucks. BC Lions play-by-play. He's going to be on, and he's going to give some Canuck trivia questions. Okay? Now, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you guys. I actually have my Family Feud questions on this computer here, so I need everybody to turn around for a second while I... Derek, can you grab me my bag? Stay turned around. Tyler, maybe entertain the people or something. Do something. Now, hold on. Did anybody see the Family Feud today?
No.
Okay, because if you had, I got all of these questions pretty much. Oh, turn around, actually. Let me ask you guys something. We're going to do two rounds of the Family Feud. Do you want the ones my friends and I made up? Like, we made up the answers. We don't know if they were... There was no survey done. Or do you want the ones done directly from the Family Feud?
From the show.
From the So are there remember the ladder? Remember the ladder? Okay, these I have written down.
I think if there's a tie break, you gotta go with the ladder question.
The ladder question. Okay. Thanks for giving it to them, Gary.
Well, no, trust.
Okay, now this one I don't exactly have the right, I'm just kind of making up the numbers, but the other one I do. Okay, here we go. Everybody stand. All right, everybody stand there. Okay,
so
now
the table?
Derek, no guys, get into like make your order, right? Who's going first? Who's going second? Do you guys know how to play the Family Feud?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good. All right, hold on here. Let's just...
So I guess you two and then...
Yeah, let's just cue this up here. Okay. Uh-huh. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. And all right, here we go. This is my cheesy intro. Enough of that. All right, everybody. So you're going first?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're going first? Okay, so show them how to stand next to the mic here, guys, because you're going to have to... all right. Here we go. Okay. Okay. So remember, you're going to guess the top... I got the top five answers on the board here. You got to go with those, and then you have a chance... Whoever gets the one with more people said yes, people said it, you can either play the game or pass, and then you get three strikes, and then the other people have a chance to steal. We're doing two rounds, okay? Here we go. Okay. Top five answers on the board. What do you think of when you hear the word whoopee? Right there.
Farting.
Show me farting. Tyler, you think that's that one?
No.
Nope.
Sex.
Show me the act of sex. Ding, ding, ding. 30 people. Attaboy, attaboy. All right. Would you guys like to play or steal? We got the top five answers on the board.
We'll play.
Okay, we'll play. All right, you're up. What do you think of when you hear the word whoopee?
Whoopee Goldberg.
Show me!
Good answer! Good answer!
Show me Whoopee Goldberg, number one, 40 people! All right, so we still need 3, 4, and 5. Okay, you're up again.
Winning? Whoopee!
Show me Whoopee! No, that's that one, yeah. Right? Number four, 5 people! You guys are doing well. All right, number 3 and number 5 are still there. Go. 4, 3, 2, 1.
I got nothing.
All right, you're up.
All right, whoopee, hey.
I love the way they're talking about the steal right here. All right, you're up.
Whoopee.
5, 4, 3.
I got nothing.
All right. 5, 4, 3, 2. All right. Who's team captain? What's your name, sorry?
Shailene.
Okay, Shailene. Let us have it for the steal.
Whoopee cushion.
Oh, cushion.
She got it! All right, we got 75 to nothing. I guess we'll do three rounds, just so we'll do it that way. Okay, here we go. We have top 6 answers. Okay, now you're what's your name again?
John.
John and Shailene are going head-to-head here. Okay. Top 6, so yeah. Okay, so if they win this round, they win the game. Top 6 answers on the board. Name an ex... Yeah, okay, we'll do that one. Name an ex... Oh, no, we'll do that one. Sorry. Something that men are doing nowadays that show they are as vain as women.
Plucking eyebrows.
Show me eyebrows! Number 6. Well done. You're on the board. Top 6 answers are on the board, Shailene.
Do I guess?
Yeah. You.
Tanning.
Show me... Tanning! And it was interesting. A guy on the show today said that and didn't get it right. So good try, Shailene. All right. Your name again?
Paul.
Okay, Paul and John, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, you're up, Paul. We got the top 5 answers on the board.
Manicures.
Show me! Come on, Derek.
Good answer!
Show me manicure!
Ding, 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 ding.
Number 3, 9 people.
Woo!
All right, so we got 1, 2, 4, and 5. Okay, John.
Waxing.
Show me waxing!
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Good answer.
Okay. All right. We got 1, 2, and 5. Okay. John.
Paul. How about expensive haircuts?
I think judges? Survey?
What do you think?
I don't think so, actually. I got to be honest.
Tyler, what do you think?
I mean, it's
guys,
how expensive?
I say yes. What do you say?
It's your show.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Color, style, hair. Okay, we've got two and five are left. Two and five are left. Okay. Paul? Right?
John.
All right, well, that's one strike. First strike.
Buying expensive clothes.
Oh, good
show
answer.
Me
good
shopping at the store. Also was said on the show today and got an X. Yeah, this is a good one. All right.
John.
Here we go.
Oh, I'm up again.
Yep.
Massage?
Show me getting a massage. All right, guys, you got a chance to steal. Something that men are doing nowadays that show that they are just as vain as women.
Wedding planning? The Groomzilla thing.
No, I'm not even going to give you an on that. Okay, we're going into the final round.
I was going to say what the last two answers were.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right, Derek. Well done there. The last two answers, number two...
So when I say, oh, yeah, I repeat it, you know what I mean?
Number two, cosmic surgery.
Oh, that's right.
Cosmetic.
Number five, exercise.
No one would have gone very on exercise.
Okay, guys, we're doing the final round now.
They've exercised.
All right, here we go. So we'll do the final round. Winner, take all.
Can I say something?
What's up?
The other contestants sitting, you know, the ones that didn't advance to the next round, now they're complaining that they're getting most of these answers and they're not happy.
All right. There we go. All right. Final round, guys. Here we go. Okay. Name an excuse. I know you're students. I know you're students, but this is the one I got off of the show today. Here we go. Okay. Here we go. Tyler, which one should we do? Should we do the one with the pigs or the one for missing work? Which one do you like? I think we'll do that one because it's got seven things.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Fine. All right, here we go. All right, ready? Final round, guys. Winner take all. Name an excuse for missing work that no one believes.
This side.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Say something.
I lost it.
That you're sick.
Show me you're sick. Number one. Okay, you guys got the board. Okay. All right. Your name again was
John.
Okay. John and Paul. And your name was, sir?
Sandeep.
Sandeep? Okay, doctor. Perfect. Go. Okay.
Doctor appointment.
Show me doctor appointment number six. Well done. Well done. All right, we got 2, 4, 5, and 7.
Family birthday.
Show me. Family birthday. No, not here. Not here.
What?
No.
Right. Religious holiday.
Good answer.
Show me religious holiday. All right. You need this one here.
Paul,
you guys got a chance to steal.
Diarrhea.
Show me.
Good answer.
Diarrhea. Oh, I would have liked it though. I would have liked it. Okay, guys, chance to steal. This is for the game.
Funeral?
I don't know. I need more specific.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, well, it's fine.
I don't know, if you gave him the haircut one.
Yeah.
It's only fair.
No, it's for the game. I can't do it on that one.
can you be more specific?
Who the funeral
is
for?
A family
died, or family member death
in the family?
You won the game! Number two was car trouble.
Ooh.
Number four, alarm didn't work. Number five, pet is sick. And number seven, this is tough for the students here, kid is sick. That was a tough one for the students. Okay, thank you very much, John. Thank you very much, Paul. Thanks for coming in. Okay, guys, you're going to be playing for the game. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to get Rick Ball on the phone, play-by-play voice for the Vancouver Canucks, and we are going to be playing... For all this fun Vancouver Canucks stuff, we've got a VIP training camp experience, 4 tickets to the preseason game versus Anaheim, September 24th, this foamy finger, this t-shirt, this DVD player.
Bag.
Yeah, where's the bag?
Oh, it's right here.
The Post-its, ooh. Alex Burrow's signed puck, and Alex Burrow's signed photo, and this bag. Okay, so if you guys could take a seat here. You know, we're hitting the final round here. I just would like to get, we should get to know our contestants at this point. Sandeep.
Yes.
Grab the mic down, please. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Sandeep.
Well, I just graduated last year. I'm here visiting some friends.
Hey, that's just great to hear. Yeah.
My buddy told me about this, so he told me to come down, and I'm really glad I came.
Where's your buddy?
He's letting out his dogs.
Ah, okay, okay. And your name was, I'm sorry?
Shailene.
Shailene. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Shailene.
I'm a third-year biology student. I came today mainly because of the Canucks training camp. I wanted to see them.
Yay! Okay, now, before I move on, are you guys willing to concede anything on this table to the runner-up?
Yeah.
You are?
Loser gets the post-it notes.
I like post-it notes.
Hey, okay! Everybody's a winner. Woo! Everybody's a winner. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break right now. Then we're going to... Actually, maybe we could just... No. I said 6 o'clock. We're actually on... 5 o'clock. We're actually on pace.
You're on time.
This is actually a miracle today. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Now, are you a Canuck fan?
Mm-hmm.
You follow the team?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because we're going to have Rick Ball, the play-by-play voice of the Canucks, on with us. I don't know what the questions are going to be, but we're going to have Canuck questions, and the winner gets to take all this stuff home. So that's that.
Except
all right.
The post-it notes.
What's that?
Except the post-it notes.
Except the post-it notes. Those will go to our runner-up. Now, are you still a student, Sanji?
I'm taking one class next semester.
Okay, so you could save these post-it notes for next semester. You do have a use.
Yes.
Okay, and you send
Shailene.
I'm sorry, guys. And Sandeep?
You got it.
Okay, and Shaylee, you'll be able to use the post-it notes.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great, eh? Now you're just, everybody's happy. Okay, folks, when we're back, it's going to be Rick Ball, one of the play-by-play voices of the Vancouver Canucks, to end this atrocity. Okay, you're listening to 101.9 FM.
The CRTC is asking the public for comments as part of a nationwide review of campus and community radio. That review includes this station. We're asking that you let the CRTC know what local, nonprofit, volunteer-driven radio means to you and your community. Maybe you're a fan of community radio. Maybe you've donated. Or maybe you're a volunteer. Then please write to the CRTC and make sure you tell them you support the idea of stable funding for the sector. To submit your comments, visit the website crtc.notlong.com and look for review number 418, the review of campus and community radio. The last day for comments is Friday, October 16th.
If it makes noise, it has some merit.
He creates this outcry, this clamor. He creates this nightmare of noise.
If it makes noise, it has some merit.
He's a sonic mess, basically. The discordant notes are just a hubbub, a cacophony.
If it makes noise, it has some merit.
He creates a disturbance because he's basically disturbed.
If it makes noise, it has some merit.
Basically, this is a worthless racket. The man is mentally incompetent.
For the most ear-splitting forays into noise, prog, early industrial, no wave, plunderphonic, psych, and altogether way out sound, tune into A Noise with your host Luke Meat every Wednesday from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM. A Noise. Music that isn't in its right mind.
Yeah, all we need is some funky dev chow.
Feeling funky.
1, 2, party people in the place to be.
Funky dope. Funky dope.
1, 2, party people in the place
Rainbow
to be.
Rainbow Groove. Here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Every Friday night from 9 to 10:30 p.m. Getting you in the mood for the weekend. I'm your host, DJ B-Fat, and I'll present a kaleidoscope of funky grooves for your mind, body, and soul. Tune in to hear everything from underground disco, roller boogie, space funk, rare groove, jazzy house, dub reggae, and anything and everything from Chaka Khan to The Clash. That's Rainbow Groove every Friday night from 9 to 10:30 p.m. here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Crazy fresh, crazy fresh.
Yeah, all we need is some funky dev chow.
There's something very important I forgot to tell you.
What?
Don't cross the street.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
This is a call out to the freaks, nerds, and geeks.
I am become death, the destroyer of worlds.
Put down your Dungeon Master's Guide and get ready for an hour of punk, metal, and garage rock.
Good afternoon. I am a hive. 9,000 completely.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all.
We all fall down on 101.9 FM, CITR in Vancouver.
You can see it when you look out your window. Or when you turn on your television.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Everybody, welcome back to 101.9 FM. With us on the line, thank you so much for doing this. How you doing, Rick?
Mr. Showbiz, how are
you? I'm pretty good. So, Rick, we have with us right now, say hi to Rick. Give us your names here.
Shailene.
Shailene and?
Sandeep.
And Sandeep. Now, Rick, they have gone through the rigorous two rounds of contests. these guys actually knew the theme songs of California. You know Californication. Curb Your Enthusiasm, Sanford and Son, and Crank Yankers?
Yes.
Wow.
Rick, this was good. And they won the family.
That's impressive.
And they won the family feud round versus John and Paul, which you guys lost the first go.
No, second one.
You lost the second one, but you won the third and final one. So we got some talented people in the room here, Rick.
Yeah, you do. And just think how much hard drive space between their ears is being occupied with all those theme songs. You know, if that was a computer, you'd be getting rid of a lot of that stuff, right? That'd be in the trash bin.
Okay, so Rick,
you'd be purging, wouldn't you?
What would be in the trash? No, I like to keep that stuff. That's just me personally. That's valuable mind stuff for me.
That's true.
So Rick, we got an Alex Burrows signed photo, signed puck, 4 tickets to Anaheim, Vancouver preseason game, VIP training camp experience, foamy finger, T-shirt, hat. Rick, they are giving away the Forever Faithful DVD, just so you know that.
Perfect. That's right there. That's worth the price of admission right there.
Now, Rick, they've gotten together, and the two of them have agreed that the runner-up gets to take home the Vancouver Canuck Post-it notes. So,
all right.
Okay, so Rick, we've got I know you haven't. You're making these up on the spot, correct?
That's right. I have not put any thought into this whatsoever.
Okay. Are you two ready?
Yes.
All right, Rick. So we need 3 trivia questions, and well, let's get them a piece of paper. Can we open up the Post-it notes, guys, or do we want to keep it sealed?
Go ahead.
We could open it.
Oh well, hold on here. Sorry, no, I don't want to ruin the Post-it notes. All right. So let's rip up a little piece of paper. Here's that. Do you have a pen?
I could find one.
Hold on, give the lady a pen.
There's another one there.
We're pretty organized here, Rick, as you can tell.
Yeah.
Okay, Rick, trivia question number one. Let us have it.
I'm assuming you want Canucks trivia, right?
Yeah, Canucks trivia.
All right. What team drafted Roberto Luongo?
Okay. Question two, Rick.
Question number two. What former Kamloops Blazers coach got fired a quarter of the way into his only season as Canucks coach?
Anybody?
Are they going to tell me the answer, or are they writing this down?
They're writing this down.
Okay.
Okay, number three.
Number three. Who was the Canucks' first-round draft pick this past summer?
Ooh, okay.
2009.
All right, that's it. Okay. Sandeep, we'll give you about 5 seconds here, then you got to hand your answers in to Tyler.
Well, last name is final.
Five,
right. Name.
Four, three, two, one. All right, and questions in. Okay, Rick, give us the answers.
Oh, the questions again. The first question was who drafted Roberto Luongo? The answer is the New York Islanders.
Oh, okay. Well, did we get a winner there, Tyler?
Shailene's got it correct. How about Sandeep?
Sandeep missed it. Nice one, Shailene.
He missed. He said Florida.
Okay, Rick, the Kamloops Blazer question. What was the question?
Yeah, what former Kamloops Blazers coach lasted just a quarter of a season as Canucks coach?
I'm going to say...
Bill LaForge.
I was going to guess Tom Rennie. Did we have a winner?
That's what I guessed.
Neither got it. I thought Rennie as well, but neither got them.
Okay, Rick. All right.
And the final question is, who was their first-round draft pick this year? Jordan Schrader.
Jordan Schrader.
And Shailene got that one as
Shailene
well.
Shailene is our winner!
Oh, well, congratulations. Who gets the post-it notes? That's what I want to know.
Awesome. Thanks so much for doing this, Rick. Very much appreciated.
No problem, Daryl.
Okay, Shailene, congratulations. So there you have it. How does it feel right now, Shailene?
It feels pretty awesome.
Okay, hold on here. I have to... See, I'm really unorganized here. Okay. Hold on. So, Shailene, congratulations. Alright, so, Sandeep, you got your post-it notes? There you go.
Thank you.
There you go. And Shailene, stick around. You are the champion of the day.
Woo!
She's good, eh? So you knew, well, the key answer you had, the Jordan Schrader you're following lately, but you knew Luongo Islanders. I was thinking Florida. I screwed that one up. I almost swore, but I didn't. I caught myself. I didn't quite go through with it. So well done, Shailene. Sandeep, thank you very much. Shailene, stick around. We will tell you how to pick up all your stuff. Granted, most of it's here, but we got to tell you about the training camp experience. So Shailene has won. 4 tickets to the Vancouver Canucks and the Anaheim Ducks, Thursday, September 24th at GM Place. The Forever Faithful DVD, this foamy finger. Derek, this t-shirt, which has a price tag of it of?
A street value of $24.99 plus GST and PST.
This Vancouver Canucks hat, Alex Burrows signed puck. Alex, are you a Burrows fan?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Okay, and you will get the VIP training camp experience this Sunday.
And
you win the bag.
To carry all the stuff.
All right, everybody. We're going to take a break. When we're back, we're going to talk UBC Thunderbird men's football. Big win on the weekend in Alberta. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Becky and I host This Side of Monday on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. It's on air alternate Mondays between 6 and 7:30 p.m. and online at citr.ca. I play all kinds of music, independent, local, but I don't even know how to describe it, so I had my friends do it for me.
And it is the cutest pandemonium I've ever heard in my whole life. It's got lots of new music from around town.
Becky Sandler's radio show is like a giant squid hugging 3 bears in a meadow.
Becky's show will make you happy every time you hear it. It's just too cute and funny.
It's like playing the game of life and sucking on a red lollipop at the same time.
Did I mention cute pandemonium?
Sharks King. Big time racketeer. Back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Maybe a song from a film or a tune from TV. Radio Free Gak brings you sounds of the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future and the forgotten classics that need a little rescue. Radio Free Gak, Monday evening, 7:30 till 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, some weird and way out sounds this week. And right now, we're featuring the progressive groups which are spearheading this revolution in pop.
There is the real danger that more and more young people may follow the call to turn on, tune in, drop out.
A revelation of the ultimate reality of things, of their infinite textures.
They depend on hallucination for their philosophy. This is not a new idea, and it has never worked.
God damn your dumbass!
Revisit the days when the colors were turned to 11 on Stereoscopic Readout. Thursday evenings, 6 to 7:30 p.m. You'll hear the best in psychedelic music, garage rock, freak beat, acid funk, and other musically and socially relevant artifacts from 1965 to today. Here on 101.9 FM CITR.
This is my happening and it freaks me out.
It's only a dream. Power Core, every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Shailene.
Yeah.
Won the contest. And where I was very impressed with Shailene there was that Roberto Luongo. I got that wrong. Florida Panthers went in my brain. Wilson, were you thinking Islanders?
I knew Islanders, yeah.
I actually would have gotten the Bill LaForge question right, and then the other two wrong, actually.
You got the Bill LaForge. I was thinking Tom Rennie.
Yeah.
Bob McCann.
But in all honesty, where she deserved it, where you know she deserved it, was not only the Islanders, but she also got Jordan Schrader, and Sandeep didn't get Jordan Schrader.
And she was quick on the Schrader.
We all knew Jordan Schrader.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I was a little worried that the people who would get the TV theme songs right might not have a clue about the Canucks questions, but that obviously was not true.
Now, where I'm also wondering what went on was... was Sandeep getting all the TV theme songs, or was it a group effort?
I think it was a group effort.
Wow, I was most impressed they got Crank Yankers. Remember, you told me we didn't think anybody was going to get it.
Well, you played the song so long that the answer was actually in the clue.
Twice. Because I was getting feedback from you that nobody knew any of the... They knew Curb. Curb did well. They knew Sanford and Son, Sandeep and...
They did. Very impressive.
See, that's where they deserved it. And the Family Feud, I thought the round went okay. John and Paul, they weren't even giving answers most of the time.
Oh, so they
kept... a lot of pressure when you get in the studio. It's easy out in the lounge when you get in here.
It is easy. It's
even
easy.
This studio.
Yeah. It is easy. So it all went well, and Rick, we liked Rick's questions.
Yeah.
He seemed a little confused on what was going on, but he went through with it.
As usual with people who deal with you.
We thank him for that. He went through with it, but... You know, the other thing I was happy about was we were done, but what, 5:05? Sandeep, poor Sandeep, though, he couldn't believe he lost it there. Did you see the look on
there? Well, he only got the post-it notes.
Well, I opened it up to them, hey? Right. Twice I opened it up to them. I thought they'd at least let the runner, I maybe should have brought it up, let the runner-up person at least have one of the Burroughs autographs. I thought maybe, do you really need two? I thought maybe.
Or the bag?
Or the bag.
Hey, they well, said,
no, you needed the bag.
No, they said all or nothing.
You said you right? I did nothing wrong there. Now, what was the reaction? You said the reaction of the people that didn't advance from the theme song. Well, it wasn't a happy room.
Well, they said they were getting a lot of the questions. Now, I can't say that. I can't say because I was scrambling around for consolation prize.
Oh, Wilson.
Which they had their choice. They had the choice of frisbees, a mug, some CDs.
I think we know who the nicest member of the CITR sports department
is. Where I kind of felt bad there, too, was you had these three girls show up. And out of the eight people, which we thought, Derek, we were getting like 35.
50.
Like, literally, I came in here, remember? I'm like, there's going to be a ton of people.
Yes, you did.
Anyways, so three of the eight were friends. And they were in two groups between them, because two were together and one were together. And not one of them advanced to round two. So anyways, let's move on. You ready to move on, Tyler?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's move on to UBC Thunderbird men's football. Welcome to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. Big thanks to everybody who came in for our contest today. And this I just want to finish up here is, you know, Derek, what I love about the people who do show up for the contest, did you see how we were out there? You know, we got the I had one for most of it. Derek had one shoe on, and we have our sign written on cardboard. We're acting like complete weirdos.
Yeah.
Yelling, screaming like peanut hawkers.
Yeah. You know, we're like, who needs a bag? Who needs a bag? And fingers.
Chick is here. Popcorn, caramel, corn, ice cream.
Anyways, I always love the people who show up because, you know, they have it in them, Derek, to be kings among men, kings and queens among men.
Well, they have faith.
Yeah, I like them. Anyways, everybody, on to some UBC Thunderbird Athletics here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Joining us on the line to talk a little UBC Thunderbird men's football, big comeback crazy win in Alberta on the weekend in what was pretty close to being, you know, you could even say a must-win game for the UBC, the Thunderbird men's football team. We have with us the play-by-play man for UBC, Tyler Noble.
Hello.
Who's been so gracious to help out today.
It's always fun being on your show, Daryl.
You got the wild day. And on the line, where are you in Duncan?
Terrace,
yeah. Good old Terrace.
Good old Terrace.
Somehow I knew you weren't going to get it on the first try.
We have with us the color commentator for the UBC Thunderbird men's football team, Jeff Sargent. So you guys went in Edmonton, boys. How was that football game?
A wild one.
Tell us about it, guys.
I'll let you have first crack there, Jeff.
All right. Well, you know, it was really the tale of two different teams. The first half, UBC's offense just struggled mightily, you know, picking up where they left off from the first game against SFU. Just couldn't execute, couldn't get into the red zone. And, you know, defensively, they didn't look very strong either. Alberta able to rack up 24 points. And even when UBC did have a chance to put some points on the board, they struggled. Billy Pavlopoulos in his first actually attempts for a field goal as in the CIS, he struggled a little bit there. But just things weren't looking good after the first half when they trailed 24-6. And clearly the Thunderbirds were not pleased with the officiating either. Head coach Govai had some choice words to say to them at the break. And, you know, things just seemed to be falling apart, although you could certainly tell from what Coach Govai had to say at the half that they were confident that they were doing the right things, that things were going in the right direction. And then in the second half, again, it was a totally different team, although they did start a little slow. They managed to slowly chip away, and I think it really, Dave Boyd was really the answer, and sure enough, he ended up with being mentioned as, I believe, the Offensive Player of the Week in the Canada West. For ratcheting up over 230 yards on the ground for the Birds as they just continually handed in the ball and ended up winning in a thrilling 25-24 last-minute victory for the Birds. And what a confidence boost for the team. On the other hand, boy, did Alberta blow it in the end. They just could not stop Boyd. And really a tale of two different teams.
In my 3 years covering this team, I would probably think it's the most significant, biggest character win for the team. It's one thing to come from behind and do it at home like they did two seasons prior, but they did this one on the road and really came together as a group at that halftime break. Whatever was going on in the dressing room, it did take them a little bit of time to get going, as you mentioned, Jeff. In the third quarter, there was kind of a blah quarter, but they really dialed it up in the fourth quarter and proved to everybody that when the team really puts their mind to it and is able to play together, they can get the job done. But really, in that first half, everything that could go wrong went wrong, and that just makes the comeback effort that much more meaningful.
Yeah, Jeff, but the game, guys, for this UBC Thunderbird men's football team, I mean, really, you know, the loss to start the season versus SFU at home, this was the second game of the year, and, you know, we really pinpointed four wins that this team, we're saying four wins is the magic number to make the playoffs, and you know, this was game number two, and the way we looked at the schedule, you had the two Manitoba games, you had the Alberta game, which they just played, and you had the Regina game. Those were the games we figured they were going to be their best shot at getting those four wins. So if they lose that game,
yeah,
suddenly you're going to have to sweep Manitoba for sure, beat Regina, and then pick off one versus SFU and two very tough teams in Saskatchewan and Calgary. So really, I mean, the way I said it, this wasn't a must win, but if they didn't win this game, they were now into the must win. So basically, it was a huge victory for this team.
Yeah, I mean, they would have certainly put themselves behind the eight ball if they had dropped that one against Alberta, and it certainly looked like it was going that way. But what a relief, and you could sense it with the team. You know, they were just some of the players leaping like 5 feet into the air, you know, just ecstatic at the win, and an elephant off their back in two ways. One, not only the win, but the fact that they were finally able to get in that elusive end zone, it seemed. But really, it's hard to say now what we can expect against Manitoba in a couple weeks' time here, because perhaps we see a little more loose team, although, you know, you have to give a lot of credit to Billy Green, who always seemed to be very confident, even going into that second half, you know, where things weren't looking so good. He certainly wasn't afraid to be aggressive. He ran the ball, took it himself a couple times, and made a couple of throws that really conveyed his sense of confidence. But you're absolutely right, Daryl. They needed to win that game. They pulled it off. They did what they came in to do. It might not have been pretty, but now, you know, things are looking good. 1-1 certainly looking a lot better than 0-2. And it's a good thing, I think, too, that they have this bye week, because that field in Alberta is sort of a synthetic, it's sort of halfway between AstroTurf and field turf, so it's quite rough, and a lot of guys having some severe carpet burn there and some cuts and whatnot, and the O-line took a bit of a beating there. Zach Cotilla, I believe we'll be hearing from him a bit later. He himself, late in the fourth quarter, ended up going off a little early because he really struggled in the end after getting really beat up, but I think they have a lot of confidence now going into Manitoba, and you know, we'll see where they can take them. But if they can go 2-1, they'll certainly be sitting with a lot more confidence.
Slow starts has been an issue for the Thunderbirds this season, and the fact that they've got a bye week here, that probably can't help the cause going in against Manitoba. But they really they shut them out last season, so certainly some success to build upon there.
Guys, got down 24-3 in this football game.
Yeah,
you're in Edmonton. The weather's not good, Jeffrey.
It improved throughout the game. When we landed in Edmonton in the early afternoon, it was miserable. It was a bit of rain, not much, but the wind was unbelievable. It felt like we were in Regina. It was amazing, you know, that prairie wind. And then we were thinking to ourselves, wow, this could be one hell of a ball game, you know, especially for the kicking game. It started out that way. And then it really improved, and by the fourth quarter, it just wasn't a factor. The sun was peeking through before it went down, and the wind absolutely died off, and that certainly helped UBC as well, because Alberta had chosen the end, and they actually elected to kick away both halves in the hope that they would have the wind with them in the fourth quarter. In the end, it didn't matter.
Well, here's what's going through your minds at this point in the football game. UBC 0-1, they're down 24-3. They get it to 24-6 at halftime, correct?
That's
and
right.
Then to start the second half, they got to get going quick. They get all the way down to the Alberta 6-yard line, and Billy Green gets intercepted.
Yeah.
Are you guys thinking to yourself at that point, game over?
There was still a fair amount of time left, but I had significant doubts that they would be able. I mean, it just things weren't going in the right direction. You know, they had a couple good drives, and then all your momentum's taken away in a second. And I was quite concerned that they would not be able to complete the comeback at that point. Just you know, that was the last mm-hmm. thing that they needed, and things weren't looking good at then. I have to admit it. It was certainly a big blow for the team. But credit them for coming back again with that confidence and aggression when they got the ball back.
Yeah, both of us, I think, on the broadcast expressed the point that was probably a very deflating end to a drive to come away with no points like that. And nothing went right in the first half. And then we thought, well, if they're going to turn it around in the third quarter, this is where they must score. But didn't happen there, but they still had lots of time, as you say, Jeff.
And the defense helped them out big time. I mean, they were such a big factor here, shutting out Alberta in the second half.
Final drive of the game, though, for UBC. 3:20 to go, starting on their own 5-yard line.
Yeah.
I mean, what a drive these guys put together. And, you know, you look at it, you know, it was mostly Dave Boyd
yeah.
on this drive. But Billy Green, just the one that sticks out at me just sort of is UBC on their own 7, facing a 2nd and 8 to start this drive. Billy Green is able to hit Spencer Betts for the first down, and then it was just Dave Boyd the rest of the way. It must have been just an unbelievable performance by Dave Boyd in that final drive.
It was amazing. It was not unlike what Fred Reed did to the Lions a couple weeks earlier. He was just unstoppable. Credit the O-line for making those holes for him. But, I mean, he was almost a guarantee, if not a first down, close to. And in some cases, he was going for an 18-yard run. So it was absolutely something amazing to watch, just how efficient he was.
Yeah, and you make a good point there too, Jeff. It wasn't just Dave running to the outside all the time. He was finding those holes on the inside. The offensive line was doing a great job for him, and there was another reception by Spencer Betts along the way, and then Billy Green finished it off with a naked bootleg.
And the other stat, the guys really got together. You know, Jeff, when you did the show with me a couple weeks ago, we really talked about how UBC got absolutely destroyed in special teams versus SFU. Well, they were able to turn that around in this football game. You look at Alberta returning kicks, 4 punt returns, under 4 yards a return, and 2 kick returns for just over 20 yards. So they really were able to bottle up Alberta on that one. And then UBC had a couple big kick returns themselves.
Yeah, UBC's cover teams played excellent. And Spencer Betts and Jordan Grieve each had a few great returns. And again, while Pavlopoulos didn't necessarily have the greatest of games kicking, if his punts fell a little short, his team was there to help him out, and Alberta really didn't start with that great field position. And of course, the biggest point of that was the final possession when Alberta got control of the ball just after UBC's go-ahead touchdown and convert, and kicked off, and they had to start at their own 40. As a result of that, they weren't able to gain enough field, and they had to try for the long 47-yard field goal, and they missed.
Another example where the field position battle was didn't help Alberta at all. They actually had to give up a safety in the third quarter as well, and those 2 points ended up being quite critical.
Yeah, funny about the safety, too. I mean, hindsight 2020, but UBC earlier in the game was even pinned back further. I think they were on their own 2, and they elected to punt it away. So interesting that they didn't take the safety there, because, again, that would have changed or could have changed everything.
Jeff, thanks so much for doing this. Very much appreciated. Did you listen to any of our contests today?
I listened to the whole thing.
How did that sound?
It was interesting. I tell you, we
That's
talked last week
answer.
About Mr. Belvedere. So, you know, you obviously, I don't know if they were listening or not last week, but
here's where you would have won this going away. Here's where you would have won this. Granted, the Rick Ball questions you had to know on your own. If you had listened to my show last week, you would have known about Mr. Belvedere and Crank Yankers, correct, Jeff?
That's right, but I have to agree with Wilson. You did have the name of the show in the theme song.
Because I was just worried that no... I was worried from the way Wilson was telling me. I was thinking that nobody knew... Nobody was getting anything, really. That was what I was gathering there. And then the other one was, and I told you about this earlier today, Derek, is if you had watched The Family Feud this morning...
Right.
You would have dominated, because it was pretty much all
the answers.
It was all from The Family Feud today. So what were the ups and downs of it, Jeff, as a listener?
The opposite. Certainly, the theme songs themselves were very entertaining.
Right.
And you know, I got to give credit to all of the contestants. They were great, very interactive, and they didn't hold back. They let you know what they were thinking, so that was great.
What are you talking about? I don't get it.
What do you mean? They were they, you know, I could hear them talking, and you know, they were challenging you a little bit. I like that.
When? What's he talking about?
Well, during the contest.
I don't. More specifically, Jeff.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that, well, they were complaining towards the end there about the final question. I think so.
Oh, we did have a real tough decision to make.
That was tough. I know that's a tough one.
The thing was that in the question or the previously. One of the it was what do men do that makes them more like women nowadays?
He said style their
he
hair.
Said, no, he said haircut.
Expensive, right?
Expensive haircut. And the answer was actually style /
color
hair.
I gave it to him.
Shailene, the question was why do you miss work? Shailene said a funeral, family funeral, and the actual answer was family member died.
Right.
No, but when she said originally
she said
funeral.
Yeah.
She said she was good.
Yeah.
Can you believe how much she knew about the Canucks? That was
impressive.
Yeah.
Well, it's.
I didn't get Florida.
She's a sports fan.
I didn't get Florida.
I knew the Islanders, and I knew it. I knew Schrader, and I knew it wasn't Rennie, but I had no idea who the right answer was.
Yeah, that's where I was.
Did Rick sound like he didn't know what he had gotten into there?
Well, I think he's worked enough with you, Daryl, that he knew what he was getting into.
Thanks for doing this, Jeff. Very much appreciated.
All right, anytime.
See you, Jeff.
You have to know I'm exhausted.
Well,
right now.
There's a little perspiration.
Yeah, I am exhausted. I mean, Derek and I, you got to understand, we were out there for a good hour trying to recruit people.
Oh, close hour and a half.
And I think what's funny about it is we did a very, like...
We did a better job than most years, I thought.
Yeah.
We had more people coming up to us going, what are you talking about? we had a whole bunch of stuff. So, like, usually we have these stupid signs.
Yeah. With nothing. Yeah, yeah.
This time we had, you know, a photograph of Burroughs. We had a foamy finger. You know, all this vibrant blue and white and green color to attract people.
But the other one that we were doing, Tyler, is when people would show up for the contest and they'd ask us, we'd kind of browse over the tickets and the training camp experience, and we'd tell them all about the bag.
What a bag.
And we kept going back to the bag.
That's the best ever bag you'll find.
And we went over Post-it notes over
and
over.
The bag was critical because there was so much stuff.
Yeah, you saw Shailene.
Without the bag, you would just have to give some of it away.
Shailene needed the bag. What would she have done without the bag?
She had two bags. She's only about, 5'4", maybe 100 pounds or something. Not a very big girl. Mm. She's wearing a backpack that's also about 5'4", 100 pounds. And she's carrying a bag of books. So if she didn't have the Canucks bag, I mean, it's game over.
Yeah, it would have been sad. She's like, I just can't take it all.
I'll take the tickets. I'm going to have to burn the rest.
That would have been sad.
More football?
More football. With us right now, Tyler Noble, play-by-play announcer for the UBC team. But Tyler, just going back to that football game, I mean, you got to look at it. Dave Boyd in this game, 32 carries, 242 yards. He had a 100-yard game versus SFU to start the year. And, you know, I have not seen a game. I missed one to the wet for a wedding, and I couldn't, of course, be in Alberta with you guys. The name I'm going to bring up, how does he look? I'm saying Krzyzinski, or am I way out of line here?
Oh, well, Dave's not so much the power of Krzyzinski. He's got just great left-right movement as he finds those holes, and just between him and the improvements from the offensive line, he is the running game right now, and we're going to hear from Coach Gavaya in a little bit here, but I think generally speaking, Boyd is exceeding expectations in his third year, and they just got to keep using him as much as they can because the passing game is a little bit inconsistent still, but that running game is a sure thing by the looks of it. So, and a good enough effort to earn him Canada West Athlete of the Week.
Athlete of the Week.
Yeah.
Granted, hasn't really started yet.
It was a shocking performance. Yeah. Jeff and I were there watching and couldn't believe what was happening. I mean, he was ripping off first down runs.
My point is, he didn't have soccer field, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
More people to compete against him.
Yeah.
But 242 yards, your team wins by 1 point.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're getting it done. And the play, Billy Green, that's the other big one.
Yeah.
Had a okay game the first game versus SFU. Improved numbers here, 14 for 27, 196 yards. He's only thrown one interception in the two games.
Yeah.
And he ran in for the touchdown here, yep, too. Yep. So he didn't throw for one, but he ran in for one. Seven carries, 45 yards. You got, I mean, just, I'm just seeing the stats here, and I'm hearing what everybody's saying. He's not losing games for him. He didn't, and the first game, without the couple drop balls, yeah, he's got some pretty good statistics. So yeah, he's not hurting them. He's not necessarily playing well enough to win their games, but for a second-year guy, true second-year guy, mm-hmm, he seems to be doing,
well,
this
okay. That's the thing. He's not costing them games. There is room for improvement, and yet they still managed to come out of the first two games with a split, so yeah, it looks good for UBC as long as he remains healthy.
So what's he do? What's he got to improve upon right now, you think, Billy Green?
Not much, just a little accuracy with throwing. He tends to overthrow his receivers a little bit, so if he can just adjust his vertical position on his throws, that'll make a bit of a difference. But otherwise, he's not afraid to run when he has to, and he's spreading the ball around very efficiently, far more effectively than Mark McVay did last year.
You caught up with Coach Gavet here.
Yeah, earlier this afternoon. The team's actually practicing right now, so we had to do a couple of pre-recorded interviews, and the first one is with UBC head coach Ted Gavaya.
The one that says September 1st?
September 8th. You got to scroll for that. No, you can't find it.
There's two that say September 1st. Oh. Is that one there?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Give it a go.
Sorry.
No problem. Sorry, I mislabeled it. That's my fault.
I've got two.
Okay, here we go.
Here's our interview with Coach Gavet.
Coach, you gave the team a few days off here following the game in Edmonton, but you're back at her today preparing for Manitoba a week from Saturday. After such an emotional win like that on Friday night, is it a good thing or a bad thing to have this much time off before your next game?
Well, that's the great debate every year, wondering how your team's going to respond to a bye week. But, I think it's an important time for us to kind of reevaluate what we're doing on offense, defense, and specialty teams and make the necessary changes that are going to carry us through the rest of the year. So I think it's a good opportunity for us.
Dave Boyd named the Canada West Offensive Player of the Week, 236 yards rushing. Is it fair to say he's exceeding expectations here in his third year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we always thought that Dave was a great player, but he did some stuff that we certainly don't expect on a regular basis. But he played outstanding.
One player we didn't talk about very much after the game was Billy Green, who finally gets his first win as a starting quarterback in the CIS. It looked to us in the booth like he took another step in terms of comfort level. How would you assess his performance in week two?
I thought he did real well. I mean, Billy's got strong leadership skills and made some great plays with his feet and with his arm and made some key throws for us. And, I think the key with Billy is just to keep moving him forward fundamentally and with knowledge of the scheme. So he's coming along nicely.
Did you guys encourage him to run the ball more himself? If there's nothing unfolding in front of him, it seemed like he was more willing to do that.
No, not really. I mean, there's certain plays there that he's got some options. We called some plays that, were runs all the way with him. But, no, I mean, he's athletic, and he can't avoid contact from the defense and find a way to make a play. So we're pretty lucky that way.
Must have been pretty pleased with the response in terms of special teams. Some much bigger run backs in the game against Alberta than there were against SFU anyways.
Yeah. We did make some huge strides on specialty teams. And I thought we played real well on defense in the second half as well.
Ever since returning from training camp at Kamloops, it seems like the guys have a confident feeling about what they can achieve if they play well together. Is the comeback against Alberta a sign of that?
It's hard to say. I mean, I will say this much. I mean, it was a credit to them that they played through that second half and were able to do what they were able to do in the end. So, I don't know if it's confidence, but it certainly gives us an opportunity to kind of move forward on some other areas too. So it's definitely a big win for us.
Just going back to the defense for one second, Scott Thiessen moving over to the halfback position with Tyler Codron out. He seemed to have a pretty good performance, I would think.
Yeah, Scott. Scott's, as a DB, and we made him a linebacker, and we've moved him back, and he did do a good job, and we're expecting him to continue to improve as he gets more comfortable at that position.
Third and goal from the two, basically a must-score situation in the fourth quarter there. Dave Boyd punches it in, finally puts a major on the board to see some control over the game heading into the final 5 minutes. What goes through your mind as the coach at a time like that, knowing that, this could be it?
Well, I mean, we were playing in three down territory, so it was definitely a situation with about, you know, 8 minutes to play that we were thinking, okay, no matter what, we've got to go for it. So we ran the ball a little bit more, knowing that we'd have three cracks to do it, and he finished off the drive nicely.
So where do you go from here? What does this team need to work on before heading to Manitoba? What can you do about slow starts?
Slow starts? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what do? We script the opening plays and we rehearse them. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, obviously we need to, you know, increase our intensity level, I think, before the game a little bit more. You know, because it usually, sometimes it's a case of something bad needs to happen in order to wake everybody up. So, you know, we're going to work on that this week. But, you know, more importantly, I think we're going to, you know, work quite a bit on our fundamentals, and we need to make some changes in terms of our approach to Manitoba, just because they play things different on defense.
A lot of guys left the game in Alberta using, to use your term, having road rash, real tough with the turf there. How's the injury situation? You got 2 weeks here. Everybody going to be all right for Manitoba?
No, we lost another receiver. Misha Thiel broke his finger and is getting surgery. So,
oh dear.
Yeah, we're down another guy, but that's part of it. Mm. And hopefully we can have everybody else rally around it. But no, we got a few nicks and bruises, that's for sure.
Yeah, the time off will certainly be appreciated.
Yeah, it will.
Last thing, this is more just to get your personal opinion. Calgary losing in overtime to Saskatchewan on Friday, and they didn't get any points in the Canada West standings. Do you agree with that? Should Calgary not have gotten at least a point?
No, I don't think they should have.
Yeah, you're more of just a win-loss type of guy.
Yeah, I am, and that's the way the game's always been played, and I found that the overtime rules in the past have kind of left some teams out of the picture and got other teams in, and they still lost the game. So a loss is a loss and a win's a win. So I am in favor of the current rules for sure.
All right, Coach, appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
Thank you.
UBC head coach Ted Gavaya speaking to us earlier this afternoon. We mentioned Dave Boyd and his outstanding performance in the game on Friday. Just want to replay his post-game comments from Friday night. He spoke with our Jeff Sargent.
We're always in close ones with Alberta. I don't know what it is, but second half is always a battle with these guys. We just, in the locker room, we looked at each other. We said, hey, we're moving the ball on these guys. We just need some more time. We got to finish in the end zone. Came out, and that's exactly what we did.
They certainly had trouble stopping you in the ground game. You're just finding those holes all over the place.
Yeah, they honestly look pretty tired, and our team is in wicked shape. So we just said, hey, they're tired. We're just going to keep running it right at them, and they couldn't stop us, so we did it all day.
I mean, what a disappointing first half. I mean, what was the mood like in the room at the half, and how did you turn this around?
Honestly, the mood wasn't that bad. We said, hey, we're doing everything right. We just got to finish. You know, some calls weren't going our way, and we came out, we just turned it around, and it went our way in the second half.
Have you been a part of such a big comeback win like this before? I mean, there's one a couple years ago, and it's the same team, as you mentioned.
In my first year of eligibility, it was the exact same as this. We were down by 21 at the half at home against Alberta, and we rallied the exact same thing. We came back to win by one.
And certainly from an offensive standpoint, I mean, last week, things seemed, you were doing the right things. It just, things couldn't seem to execute. What was it like, especially today, to finally get through that goal line?
It was awesome. Like, we look back at training camp in 2 days, and it's all worth it now for this moment.
Yeah, that was running back Dave Boyd following his 236-yard, one-touchdown performance against the Alberta Golden Bears on Friday.
Once again, Tyler, Dave Boyd just ripping it up. Is this a situation now where you think going forward, I mean, you look at that first game versus SFU, it runs for over 100 yards, but he didn't get the ball that much. You think this is a situation now where Coach Gavaya, he's got his guy now, and the rest of the way, quite frankly, to win, we're giving Dave Boyd the ball really as much as possible?
I think he established his position as a dominant player on the Thunderbirds roster. In the game against SFU, they used Chang Wei a little more, as a two-back running game. But in the one in Alberta, it was all Dave Boyd, basically. So.
And what it, this has to only help Billy Green. That's the thing, too. I mean, that's the big optimism.
Gives them options.
Yeah. And teams are going to have to cheat against the run.
Yep.
And who knows, against the good teams, if Dave Boyd's able to keep this up, you know, you cheat up against the line.
Yep.
It's going to be up to Billy Green now to stretch that field, you know?
Well, exactly, and he has, in both games, been able to spread the ball around and find open receivers, and unlike the first game and the second game, they were able to execute and not have so many dropsies. So Billy Green's got lots of options, but he should not be afraid to use the running game, clearly.
The other thing about Dave Boyd, which I'd like to know from Coach Gavea, is no receptions in the game. Is he just not a pass catcher they use out of the backfield? Is that
they used him in the SFU game, and he was fairly effective at doing that. So I just I guess just feel for the game and the play calling, and they didn't use him in that role. But
well, when the running back has 32 carries for 242 yards, you know the offensive line is doing all right.
Absolutely. One of the members of that offensive line is fourth-year Zach Cotilla, and I caught up with him earlier today. Zach, we appreciate your time this afternoon. Let me start by asking just how it felt to come from behind and pull off a win like that on the road, knowing that losing means an 0-2 start to the season.
It's kind of hard to describe. I mean, like electric, really. Like all the guys just banding together like we did. It was crazy.
It seemed at the end of the first half that this team might have become completely unglued. There was a lot of penalties, not many points on the board, and an uphill battle for the final 30 minutes. Something must have been said in the dressing room to turn things around, because you guys looked far more composed and really found your groove late in the third and into the fourth.
Yeah, coaches brought us in the locker room, brought the guys together, and just basically said, we're in a fight now. Like, it's time to go out there, buck up, and do what we know we can do. So just seemed like all the guys, nobody kept their heads down. Everybody just came out of the locker room, heads held high, and we went in and did what we can do the second half.
Coach Gavea said after the game he opted to run the ball more based on advice from the offensive line. Take us through that process. What did you guys up front notice from Alberta, and how did you approach the coaches and say, hey, let's pound the ball?
You just out there when you're on the field, you kind of get a feel for how the other guys are playing against you when we're driving up the middle or whatever like that. And we noticed they started to slow down there in the second quarter, started huffing and puffing a little more, hands on their knees. They just looked tired, and we knew we had to step on them. So you just go up and tell Coach, hey, we think we can run on these guys. And he took the advice, and it seemed to work out well for us.
What do you make of Dave Boyd's performance? 236 yards on the ground in that game. There was really no stopping him. He's really been stepping up for the offense this season, hey?
Yeah, it's been great to have in the backfield. It's kind of nice as an old lineman to have, like, to know you have somebody in the backfield who can respond to your blocks well and get the yards that he can.
You had to be helped off the field in the fourth quarter. How are you feeling physically? Does this bye week come at a most welcome time?
Yeah, bye week's really welcome this time. I was feeling kind of, I wouldn't say beat up, but a little sore, worse for wear after the game. So, yeah, it's nice to have this week off to let the body recover a little bit.
Coach Gavea called the win on Friday a character win, and in the 3 years that I've been covering this team, I don't think I've seen a more significant win. Is this a sign you guys are really pulling together as a group here?
Yeah, like you said earlier, it was a make-or-break game for us, and like just to be able to come together like that, like we did, and know all the other guys have their back and your back and are going to do the jobs they need to get done. Yeah, it's for sure a character win. Just it lets everybody know that we can rely on each other to come through and pull through when we need to the most, you know?
Before we let you go, just looking ahead to the game at Manitoba, that's a week from Saturday. What do you guys need to improve upon offensively in that one?
I think we just need to work on, like, not coming out, because in Alberta we came out a little flat. We definitely pulled through in the fourth quarter there in the second half, but we need to work on being like that all game, playing all 60 minutes instead of just one half, and being able to capitalize on our chances when we get near their goal line.
All right, Zach, we really appreciate your time this afternoon. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Zach Cotilla, offensive lineman for the UBC Thunderbirds, joining us earlier this afternoon.
Yeah, once again, UBC 25-24 winners versus the University of Alberta. Big comeback win for the Birds. They trailed 24-3 just before halftime. And just going back to it, Tyler, you've mentioned in these interviews, this was a team 0-1 going into this game. Eight-game season. You got to figure they got to go at least 4-4 to make the playoffs. This is an Alberta team that they pretty much are, you know, this is one of those games, if you're going to make it, you should win this game. They made it tough, but they pulled it off in the end, and, you know, one and one, you'll take it, right?
Well, 1-1 you'll take, because I don't think you and I predicted that UBC would get anything better than a split out of SFU, so, you know, a loss to SFU, a win over Alberta, it's really going according to plan, if you want to look at it that way.
Well, you know, and then they have the bye this week,
yep.
So we'll get into the other games in the Canada West in a minute here, but you know, we mentioned that, you know, they have to go 4-4. They get the win versus Alberta, but they've got a couple, two winnable games.
Mm-hmm.
Their next two here, they're going to be going into Manitoba, a team you figure they should be able to beat if they're going to make the playoffs, in fact. And then really the one I'm eyeballing, September 26th at home versus the University of Regina, because right after that, they're going to host Calgary, go to Saskatchewan, two of the top teams in the whole country. So yes, you're 1-1. Yes, you've got the bye week, but they've got some real big games coming up.
Yeah, and if they don't have it still on track by that point, then they've got the Shrum Bowl, which is a road game for them this year, and then basically all the marbles at the end, home game versus Manitoba on October 23rd. So really, yes, they need the Manitoba game, and then they'll be in a fairly workable position to hold on to that last playoff spot.
Isn't that the same spot they were in last year, 2-1? Playing Regina at home?
The Regina game, right? And that was one where they had to win, we don't want to go into it, but it, you know, they didn't get the chance to kick the winning field goal, and the whole season was lost after that.
Wilson, we'll get into that one before the Regina game. We'll rehash it.
I'm sure at some point.
Let's just say they didn't get the playoff at the end.
We'll pull up the
We'll leave it at
and,
that.
Well,
Derek here, I'll let Derek is last play of the game. There, well, Wilson, you were there. Just tell Derek what happened in that Regina game.
Well, last play of the game, UBC was on the a drive to win the game, essentially, and they were in a good spot to actually kick a field goal, and all the players were so excited that they were jumping up and down on the sideline, and for whatever reason, they didn't get the kicker out in the field in time.
They didn't call the timeout.
They couldn't.
They were out of timeout.
They couldn't stop the play, and they. Basically, when they got the playoff from scrimmage, they didn't end it soon enough for the next play to come off, and everyone was shocked because they were all kind of just standing there thinking that they would be winning the game, and they couldn't get the field goal kicker out on time.
That was bad. Never won another game, and actually, this Alberta game was the first one they've won since then. So they did get that monkey off their back. Other games in the Canada West on the weekend, how about this one? Calgary and Saskatchewan, two of the top teams in the country, 20-20 tie. Saskatchewan beats Calgary at home, 14-13 in the shootout.
Yeah, and the decision to go for a two-point convert and go for the win backfires.
And the other game, Regina hosts Manitoba. Regina won 28-10 convincingly. So that kind of shows you that I'm kind of eyeballing Regina. If UBC can beat Manitoba as that team, they're going to have to win. And I'm really circling that as perhaps the game of the year. Win that game, you're going to be in the playoffs. Lose it, you won't.
Yeah.
It's that Regina game. I'm looking at that one.
Well, and we'll see how the Manitoba Bisons do against SFU this week as well. And that'll be a good measurement of where Manitoba's at.
So in the other games coming up, Alberta goes to Calgary.
Yep.
Figure Calgary should stomp them.
Should, yep.
And Regina goes to Saskatchewan. And Saskatchewan is the big favorite, but... You know, Regina did win their first game by 18 points, so we'll see what they're
made. Well, and just like the, you know, the crosstown rival games here, the interprovincial rival games out in the prairies are always exciting, too, and close. So
terrific. And we mentioned, though, you know, UBC playing SFU, just getting demolished in special teams and the return game. Just got to go back to that, because everybody I talked to, that was the big reason why they lost. They turned that right around in this game.
Jordan Grieve ripped off a 59-yard kickoff return, and I think really sparked the Thunderbirds' comeback in the second half. Once he was able to do that, he gave them instant field position, and they never really looked back after that. So the fact that the Thunderbirds got their special teams back on track was a big part of the win for sure.
Yeah, and they stopped them, which is great. And once again, you know, Tyler, we'll just wrap it up here.
Yeah.
25-24 winners, UBC. 105-yard drive to win it at the end of the game. Alberta misses the field goal on the last play of the game.
That's right.
The last play of the game. But Dave Boyd, 242 yards on the ground. Wow.
Yeah, and that's what we said at the time, too. It was quite the show to see.
Awesome. So thank you very much, Tyler, for that football report. I know we kind of were running it around today, but you hung with us today.
It's always a pleasure to be on the show.
Always with us. Moving on here, we have with us the man who the contest could not have happened without, Wilson Wong. Wilson, so
well,
you...
maybe the contestants would have left a little more upset.
Were they having fun in the room?
I think so. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I think they felt confident that they would have done well as if they had gotten here.
Yeah, but you got to, you know, can't get to stage two without going to stage one, you know?
Yeah, you got
to
win that. You got to get something right in that first round.
they didn't get anything.
There was one group that got one answer right. And that was the Crank Yankers.
Because I played it at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, Curb Your Enthusiasm, I thought, was pretty easy. Well, I thought they could have got it.
Well, it's a current show, at least.
Yeah. Sanford and Son, we both knew it. Although you said...
No, I said it was something else.
You said it was the Jeffersons. You know what we're going to have, actually?
At least Sanford and Sons is on TV still. Yeah, yeah. Like Mr. Belvedere. It's not even in reruns, I don't think.
You should have heard what I suggested to be the tie-breaking...
Oh, yeah. I actually had it written down. You ready for this one?
I'm ready.
Empty Nest.
Last night, Daryl played me... what theme song was it? Wasn't Empty Nest.
Soap?
I can't remember, and I didn't know what song it was, and I was like, Empty Nest. He's like, oh, you're close.
Yeah, it was Soap. Remember Soap? Remember the show Soap?
No.
Had the dad from Empty Nest.
Right, right.
Was on Soap. And Empty Nest was a spinoff of? From? Golden Girls. I believe he lived across the street.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Who do you get together with? Blanche?
Well, she gets together with everyone.
Was it, what's her name?
Sophia.
Sophia.
We're into this, are we? We've turned to this. Crank Yankers, I gave the answer in the song pretty much.
That was good.
Californication, I thought, was very doable. That show's on right now, very popular. Yeah. But, you know, it kind of scared me is they said they were born in 1990.
Yeah.
So Mr. Belvedere was pretty big in the mid-80s.
It may have gone... So it ended. It ended almost the same year, I think, as Major League.
Now, no. Major League was well after, I believe.
I must say, though, that Mr. Belvedere was referenced in Family Guy.
Yes, by Stewie Griffin. Yeah.
So at least they would have heard it somewhere.
That's right. They sang it. You're right. Yes. You're right. Bingo. In play. Wilson, you caught up with the UBC soccer coaches this week.
I actually spoke to the women's side, the women's soccer team. Dick Mosher was the coach, or is the coach.
Yep.
He's heading, I think he's getting to 200 wins as a coach here at UBC for both the men's and women's team. I asked him just... sort of a little bit about last year. This UBC team finished third in the conference, out of the national championships, and this is a team that has won three national championships this decade. So I kind of asked him maybe, you know, it's kind of weird, but, you know, what sort of went wrong with last season, and this is what he had to say.
Scoring a couple goals. Pretty simple, actually. I think we were the best defensive team in the country, backed by Dunnett and Golan. Our defenders, actually, with Jackie Dunnett, Chelsea Stang, Jess Bricker, they're three of our five, four backs and keeper, and starting five, and three of them were with the World University Games team in Belgrade this summer, so that really shows you the strength back there. But defense comes really from forward back. In other words, everybody, your defense starts with your forwards. And we had a very strong defensive team, as evidenced in our games with Trinity. We gave up one goal in 3.5 games to them, and they were national champions. And, you know, you ask what do we have to change or whatever. Obviously, that 0-0 tie, we nick one, and maybe we're still playing.
So that's Coach Dick Mosher of the women's soccer team. They obviously are expecting to get back to the national championships. He has a lot of veteran players. He brings back three All-Canadians. He talked about two of them, Jackie Dunnett, Chelsea Stang, and Caitlin Davey, who plays in the midfield. And he also had three players, Stang, Dunnett, and Jess Bricker, play on the World University Games teams, as he talked about. So he has a very strong team here. For this season, they hope to knock off Trinity Western team that returns most of their players from the national championship winning team. So Trinity is ranked number one, UBC ranked number eight to go into the season.
And UBC soccer teams, as Alberta and Saskatchewan.
Starting on the road this weekend.
Both men and the women get underway.
That's right. And this year, the men's and women's teams will play home games at night.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Friday, Saturday night.
Okay.
They wanted to attract a lot of the soccer players that normally would be playing the games in the afternoon.
Yep.
So that's why they changed the time. So hopefully more people will actually come out and watch the games.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Wieners Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CIT Radio, Vancouver, Canada. Like to thank, of course, Derek Andrew. Derek, thank you for helping me recruit and run the contest.
I didn't even, you know, I didn't do anything. The bag did all the work.
What I love, though, Derek's best contribution to the show, I do have to say, was you were fantastic yelling good answer during the Family Feud.
Good answer, good answer.
Isn't that what they always do on the show?
Oh.
It sounded like just an audio version of the same show, really.
Thank you, of course, Tyler Noble, for helping me out with the UBC football and doing those interviews. I don't know where I would have been without you today. And Wilson Wong, of course, the soccer report. And Wilson, just where would we be without you? And the prizes. You were giving out prizes to people.
I was. They all demanded consolation prizes.
They deserved it, honestly.
So I went and got some consolation prizes, and they were all happy with them.
They were.
Well, you know, frisbees, mugs.
You got to figure Sandeep might. Oh, you gave him a CD too,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Because he just had the post-it notes.
Which actually, he would have left with the worst prize of all, actually.
Derek, the post-it notes.